Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project, formerly known as For the Girls. It is finally race week. We have been counting down for a race preview for such a long time. We are so excited. We're going to be giving you a Dutch Grand Prix preview and also giving you some of the latest news, including more info on our rebrand, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then, of course, a full silly season recap and what the drivers got up to. So with that, I'm Tiggy.
I'm Chessa.
And I'm Sarah.
All right. So for the rebrand, we cannot believe it's been 2.5 years since we've launched.
Insane.
You all probably have seen a lot of our videos and posts and stories and stuff on socials talking about the reasoning behind the rebrand. And we wanted to just talk about it a little bit on the podcast as well for some of our most loyal listeners and the people that we love.
The real ones.
So you've probably seen a lot of creators changing their names on socials. And the reason behind that is that F1 does not want creators and podcasters using F1 in their names. So everything that we've said about the rebrand in terms of why we're doing it, et cetera, is all true. We've been thinking about this for a really long time, but because of the F1 situation, the timing, we decided to do it now. It made sense with silly season and all of that. So we wanted to put that out there to our real ones.
It's definitely something we've been plotting up for a long time. We actually had a call with Morgan, who is our incredible designer that helped us on the rebrand, like almost a year ago at this point. Like, so we've definitely been thinking about it. And if you saw a lot of the AMAs about why we wanted to do the rebrand and sort of the reasoning behind it, it's because we've grown so much. This community's just become so big and so amazing. And we've just, as you guys come along for the ride, there's more and more that we want to do all the time. And so we just love that the name really implies, obviously, Paddock with motorsport and F1 and all things related to this world. And then Project, it implies work to be done, so much more growth. And so we're just really excited to keep continuing to bring all of this amazing content to all of you, but with a new, fun, and invigorated brand. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And I think one thing to emphasize is that nothing really is changing. I think that has caused some confusion in terms of our content is the same, our mission is the same, the community is the same. We still have an F1 podcast where we're talking about previews and recaps for every race. And yes, we've always kind of dug into other motorsport series in our special series on sustainability and women in motorsport. We're going to continue to do that, but it's by no means kind of changing the way that we have been putting out content and our mission more broadly to create a welcoming space for everyone in F1 and also motorsport more broadly. So that's just a little, I guess, deep dive, mini deep dive.
A little deep dive. That's what's the word when two things don't make sense together?
Oxymoron. But anyway, we just wanted to chat about it a little bit on the podcast because I think it can be confusing on Instagram seeing something that looks so different and not fully understanding why. So long story short, we've been wanting to do this for a long time, but also there was a push from F1 to think about doing something different with our name. So there we have it.
Okay. And with that, let's get into the Dutch Grand Prix preview. F1 is finally back. We had one of our followers write in and be like, it should be illegal to have to wait this long between races. So
it's true.
We are back. And what better place to kick off than the Zandvoort circuit? So this is a home race for Max Verstappen. It's arguably like the Super Bowl for Dutch fans. It has a very party atmosphere. It's super fun. So the Orange Army will be out ready to go get after it. It'll probably be orange flare galore as well. So watch out for that. One thing that came up in the news this week, which is kind of interesting, especially when you think about the relationship of F1 and then the tracks, it's not like Vegas where F1 owns the race. F1 has to collaborate with a lot of circuits and different partners. So apparently there's some rumored legal action that the Dutch Grand Prix is involved in. They're facing some pressure and speculation about the future on the F1 calendar. And then also on top of that, they are reportedly in a business dispute with the Platinum Group over unsold tickets and unpaid funds, allegedly paying or failing to pay millions of euros. So the Dutch Grand Prix insists that stands will be full and has pursued further legal action. But some drama there, we don't necessarily have to dig into the drama, but it's just interesting to note that there is that relationship between F1 and the providers or circuit promoters. Another thing this weekend to look out for is that we're going to have an F1 Academy race. So listen to our latest Progress Paddock episode for a full mid-season check-in and preview ahead of the weekend.
Zandvoort, we are so excited. This track has a really unique location. It's in the beach resort town of Zandvoort, and it's super close to the beach, even cuts through the dunes. But at the same time, it's also less than an hour from Amsterdam, and you can take the train out. So this would make a great Grand Prix to visit. Who wants to go with me next year? This sounds like my ideal Grand Prix, Max fans and all. And it's one of those old school classic tracks, sort of like Spa. It's also quite demanding. It's 4.2 kilometers though, so much shorter than Spa. Definitely one of the shorter circuits on the calendar. 72 laps. A couple fun facts. Turn one is called Tarzan and is a hairpin, which is very fun. Wow, I really want to go to this race.
Big Tarzan fan?
In general, the track is pretty twisty. It even has two banked corners at turns 3 and 14 that are very steep. So there's really high levels of stress and wear on the tires. And there's 14 turns and two DRS zones. The first DRS zone is on the short straight between turns 10 and 11. And then the second one is after the exit of the final banked corner at 14. And the lap record is still held by Hamilton from 2021.
For some history and background, the Zandvoort track has been central, very central to Dutch racing culture for decades. Its history spans back to the 1940s. There's actually an interesting World War II story here. So the mayor of Zandvoort believed in the potential of racing for the future fortunes of his town. He started planning around building a permanent racing facility. Unfortunately, that was around the same time as World War II, so that stopped those efforts. But he did keep scheming, as people do. Basically told the Germans he would like to hold a parade for the winners of the war. So they built a new road. And this was a way that the mayor could avoid locals being sent to Germany to work as prisoners of war. And instead, the road they built eventually formed the main straight of the new circuit. So some very interesting history and facts there. It was the home to the F1 Grand Prix from 1952 to 1985. That's when the circuit went into a period of decline a bit. It was having to constantly make updates, repairs for safety. There were some fatal crashes in the 70s. And to keep up with the FIA regulations and the financial burden of that was just a little bit too much. So some new owners got the circuit back on the map in the 2010s. So relatively recently, which lucky for them, coincided with the meteoric rise of their hometown hero, Max Verstappen. It finally returned in 2021 after being canceled in 2020 for COVID. And yeah, they definitely bring the energy. And it's nice to have Max, obviously an incredibly successful driver over the past several years, to rally around and get excited about.
I wonder how fans are going to feel going into this race. We'll talk about it when we get to the Red Bull section. But knowing that there is going to be some contention, maybe not for the World Drivers' Championship, but maybe for constructors. So lots to think about there. In terms of last year's race, last year at Zandvoort, weather played a huge role. It was very rainy and chaotic. So it made for a very strategic race, pit stop-wise and tire strategy-wise. But in the end, Max came out on top, which is actually a big win for him. He tied the most consecutive win records with Vettel and Alberto Ascari at 9 consecutive wins. This was also the race that we saw Liam Lawson's debut. He handled it so well. Like, I think he had a 2-day notice, got on, had his first F1 race on slicks, which is insane, or on inters, and he finished P13. So super exciting for him. And then the other sort of key highlights from this race was a very standout performance from Alonso. He had a kind of a failed pit stop, fought back to secure P2 and driver of the day. And then Gasly got P3 and got Alpine's first podium of the 2023 season.
That was fun for sure.
Okay, let's get into the teams and what we can expect from them this weekend. So starting with Red Bull, I think the big talking point here, at least in my mind, is that it finally feels like Max and the team will have a challenge on their hands for the rest of the season. Again, maybe not for the Drivers' Championship, but definitely I think constructors could get a little bit spicy. And then the other big talking point is Checo. So you all know I'm a Checo fan, although I was definitely hating on him pre-break. I was convinced that he was going to get ousted during the summer break. But as we know, we heard a lot of talking points from team leadership that he is indeed their pick, at least for the end of the 2025 season. And they've said that they're going to try to make the car a little bit more drivable for him in order to help finish out the season with some consistency, which again, hopefully will help him start getting points again and help the team in constructors. But I was so sure he was out, but nice to see some consistency hopefully for the rest of the season.
I think he's still very much at risk for next season. I think dropping him over August break would have been a huge gamble. I did kind of expect it to happen, but at the same time, their calculus for the rest of the season, they need to think about having a competitive constructors championship battle on their hands and Checo can perform. But they also need to think of all of the risks of any of their options to put in that seat midseason are all risky and not guaranteed to perform better than Checo, thinking of Danny, Liam Lawson, Yuki, really any of their options are a huge gamble. And there's a solid chance that they would not be doing as well as Checo, even with Checo struggling. So I think it was too risky for the rest of the year, but I definitely think all eyes will be on him in the back half of the season, because I would be very surprised if he stays next year on the current trajectory. But who knows? Because I feel like Red Bull has a really strong connection to and affinity with Checo that we all underestimate sometimes.
I know, and he brings so much sponsorship dollars, but I think it's kind of like you said, kind of like the lesser of two evils. But, and we'll talk about this when we get to the V-carb section, there was talks, and I think Tiki talked about it in her newsreel, that someone said, I think it was someone on the V-carb leadership, that they would promote Yuki if he keeps doing really well. So lots to think about there.
I feel like Yuki's never going to get promoted. We could wait till the RV section, but it just – it feels like he has been in this holding pattern for a long time where he's never quite had the breakout moment that's really caught the eyes of the senior team. I don't know if he has much of a future in the Red Bull organization. I could be wrong, but it kind of feels like he's stuck in a holding pattern there.
Well, there you have it. For our next team, McLaren, they were on a charge before summer break. We're really hoping that the time off helps them only come back stronger, batteries recharged and refreshed, as they say.
I cannot wait for zero people to say ever again, batteries recharged. Are people doing it as a bit, the fact that everyone does it?
I think it must be a bit.
It has to be a bit, because everyone puts it.
Checo posted a picture in front of like a private jet. I don't think he said batteries recharged, but he definitely said refreshed and ready to go or something.
I liked that. Refreshed instead of batteries charged. It was just because absolutely everyone puts batteries charged. We talked about this last year too.
Every year we've talked about it. It's so funny.
A young photo, caption, batteries charging. It's just absolutely, there's no variety.
So, I think McLaren, like we said, like it felt like at the beginning of the season, constructors solidly belonged to Red Bull, but now we're not so sure. McLaren closed that gap between or before summer break to only 42 points. And that means that theoretically this weekend, if all goes well for them and all goes bad for Red Bull, they could take the lead in constructors.
That would be nuts.
Huge. I love those like theoretical game outs. And I think the last thing that we have to do, we posted a video about it this week, is the fact that Oscar won his first Grand Prix with a broken rib. He posted the scan on Instagram with the caption, quote, first part of the season done, first GP victory, first broken bone, ribs enjoying the break. My ribs are recharging.
He would be allowed to use that caption. Oscar is an absolute icon. And again, just another example of how heads down, hardworking, committed he is. The fact that he did not say anything about this until over break is absolutely wild. I feel like we normally do hear not a ton of detail, but normally when people have an injury or are sick, you hear a bit about it, especially in the context of performances or explaining why things might have gone a certain way. So very classic Oscar and very impressive. True, he won. So I'm very curious. What I'll be really looking out for with McLaren is this teammate dynamic, because now we have both teammates, Lando and Oscar, having won so far this year, a lot of high stakes drama with the team orders debate between Lando and Oscar with Oscar's first win. I would really love to see Oscar get a win. That's just completely conclusive. He's out ahead. Lando's not a factor. So I'm excited for that.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I Woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estrogen Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For Ferrari, the big news here is that Sainz finally announced his move to Williams. All eyes will be on him for the rest of the season as he closes out his time at Ferrari. It will definitely be emotional. But broadly for Ferrari, after bringing some upgrades earlier in the season that didn't fully translate, the team is set to introduce some new upgrades this weekend, including a new floor that hopefully will help to mitigate some of the issues that the previous upgrades had brought and help generate more aerodynamic load. In terms of the team's goals for the weekend, Fred Vasseur, the team principal, said that the team will aim to stay close to the top two teams before some tracks later in the season that might suit Ferrari more, including Monza, hometown favorite, Baku, and Singapore, which is where Carlos won the only non-Red Bull win of the season last year. And the team is only 63 points back from Red Bull, so it's not a huge gap. But that said, over the past several races before the break, they've let McLaren kind of slip in to take P2 in constructors, and they'll be looking hopefully to take that position back.
I think this is the team that might have like the most pressure on them right now.
And I just, like, I'm so curious what Lewis is thinking of Mercedes. I mean, we'll see what happens after the break, but of Mercedes just kind of improving and Ferrari going the opposite direction, because it looked the opposite last season.
I know.
When he signed the contract, but I don't know. F1 is a roller coaster, so who can really tell?
Buckle up, folks. Keep your hands inside. Okay. I went to Coney Island over the weekend, so I'm like in my carnival
mood.
Okay, so for Mercedes, I think silly season, we didn't have that much drama, but we had just enough that it feels like for Mercedes, an announcement is imminent. With Carlos getting snagged by Williams, it's really only a matter of time before they decide who they're going to be teaming up with alongside George. I think it's going to be Kimi, because it doesn't really seem like there's any other drivers on the current grid that would go to Mercedes. So I'm just sitting around waiting for Kimi Antonelli to be announced.
Yeah, it's strange they haven't announced it yet. Maybe they're waiting for right before the weekend or right after. I don't know. But yeah, I agree that I think it will be Kimi. There aren't really other options unless you count the Bottas Hail Mary as a possibility, but
which I think would be really fun, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're right. I think it's like a PR timing thing. So everyone stay alert. Maybe by the time we release this, he'll have been announced.
Well, no, but
Thursday morning.
It does seem that Mercedes has a lot of confidence in George to be that number one driver. And if they do feel that confidence, then Kimi is a natural signing, even though he is obviously very young and not super experienced. But it does feel like the way that they're putting messages out, their PR campaigns, like all of it is hinting at George, number one driver of the team next year. So I don't see who they would like put in above
ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. As for the team this weekend, like we said, they had some pretty good showings before the break, a la making Lewis sad that he's leaving. So they'll be looking to continue this streak. Remember, Lewis picked up his second win in three races in Belgium. That makes it the team's third win in four races, too. So that's pretty crazy. Interesting thing to note is that in Belgium, they had some issues. They brought upgrades to Belgium, but they said that the issue wasn't with the upgrades. It was with the setup of the car. So now they've decided to revert back to the pre-Belgium Silverstone setup, have figured out the root cause of whatever issue was there. Now they're confident that they can reintroduce those upgrades this weekend at Zandvoort with better results. So definitely let's look out for car performance and consistency and speed for Mercedes.
For sure. And Mercedes sent out a press release this morning about Zandvoort. And I thought one of the coolest stats was that Zandvoort is one of only three tracks on the F1 calendar right now that Lewis Hamilton has not won at. The other two are Miami and Vegas, which are obviously newer races.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So Zandvoort, I mean, I guess Zandvoort's also a newer race in the modern times, but
I think that's
pretty crazy. So they were framing it as he's looking to extend his record of most different F1 circuits won.
Such a good stat.
Fingers crossed for that.
For Alpine, now that Carlos has been signed, this might trigger the team to make a final decision on who they are going to choose as Gasly's teammate next year. This is kind of one of the last midfield-ish seats that's open. Yeah, and it seems like the Mercedes seat, once that falls into place, which I'm kind of surprised it hasn't yet, will trigger much more movement in the midfield. It looks like it might be Jack Doohan, which would be exciting. And more rookies, the merrier. We're super excited for what it's looking like for next year.
Rookie overload. Thank God, because we had no rookies this year.
But I also really want Ricciardo and Bottas to have seats, and they are both – not confirmed yet. So I feel like Alpine, less so for Danny because he was at Renault and had a rough ride with them, but a bit more maybe for Bottas could be an option.
Ooh, that would be really interesting.
Or we could bring back Danny and Cyril and just do a 2018 revert for the team.
And for Alpine, a new driver was not the only position that was up for grabs at the beginning of silly season. Over the break, they announced a new team principal. So they confirmed the departure of Bruno Famin in Belgium, replacing him with Oliver Oakes. First of all, A++ name. Oliver is going to be the second youngest team principal to ever work in Formula One. It's super exciting. He definitely looks quite young. Love that. It's going to be a really big job for him. I think that he's going to have to bring in a lot of stability, like a tall order. This team has just been like notoriously unstable over the past season or two. So lots for him to do.
they have cycled through so much leadership, and they also do not give a long runway to let leaders try to turn things around.
The amount of times I've said, the Alpine organizational reshuffle continues. Like, I'm so over it.
For steak, along the topic of Botas, steak also has an open seat next year for an all-new driver lineup with Hülkenberg. Joe and Botas' futures are very uncertain. We only have a couple seats left, so it's kind of potentially between Joe and Botas or someone else. For that open seat, I think they would take Botas over Joe, which I would have loved to see Joe get more of a shot in F1 with a more competitive car. But I also really hope Botas stays on the grid. Where do you think Botas is going to end up right now?
I think if we're looking at Danny, Botas, and Joe, who don't have seats yet, and so many rookies coming in. Is it crazy to say that I feel like only one of those three might make it through to next year? And there's a chance that it's Danny and
not. Crazy to say at all. And you didn't even say Logan.
Well, I'm assuming Logan's already out. They said that he's out. So I think, yeah, I actually don't think that Botas and Joe will make it through. I think they might pick Danny over it. I would love to see Botas over Danny, but Danny just, you know. Danny is Danny. Although maybe that's why Botas has been hustling on the marketing side of things.
What do you think if it was between Botas and Danny for Haas, who would you want with Berman?
Oh, God. Botas. That would be so fun. Do you agree?
That would be great. I think either of them would be
– I think Danny really would scare poor Ollie. I don't know if that would be a good team to mention. But yeah, and so besides the driver, this team also got a new team principal over break, although he won't be starting effective immediately like Oaks. They've named Jonathan Wheatley to be team principal for the incoming Audi era, and he'll be working under Mattia Binotto. He comes to the team after nearly two decades at Red Bull, so that's a big loss on the Red Bull side of things. And then, yeah, this team is also the only pointless team on the board, which is really sad. We haven't had a team with 0 points at the summer break since 2021. That's when Haas started the summer break started the summer shutdown with 0 points. That's when Mazepin and Mick Schumacher were on the team.
For V-Carb, so the team is bringing a few important upgrades this weekend to help them maximize any potential point scoring opportunities. With Checo's future confirmed for now, it's got a lot of us wondering what might be in store for Danny. We talked about this last time, but if V-Carb is truly a sort of younger development team to Red Bull, does it really make sense for them to keep Daniel around, especially with Liam Lawson waiting in the wings? And this also comes off hot off the comments from the V-Carb CEO, Peter Bayer, which we talked about in the newsreel, that if Yuki consistently performs at a high level, he will be in contention for a Red Bull seat in 2025, despite his contract renewal with V-Carb for next year. So in that case...
Imagine if they just like get rid of Checo, which I still think is a possibility. We know that he's going to be here through the end of this season, but they just, I don't know. First of all, a Yuki Max lineup would be something to see. And second of all, that would leave a full empty team at V-Carb unless they just keep Danny and then bring on, Liam. I don't know, like Joe or Botas, but that doesn't make sense because V-Carb is a quote unquote development team. So
wait, why not Liam though?
Liam. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say we'd have to have another rookie.
Yeah, definitely Liam. I mean, the only seats that are open right now are this Daniel seat at V-Carb, the seat at Stake. Nico Hülkenberg's taking the other one, but neither Joe nor Botas have been re-signed yet. Then the Alpine seat, which will probably go to Jack Doohan, and then the Mercedes seat. So we only have four seats open. And I'm kind of sad the window feels slightly closed, albeit maybe a jar for Liam Lawson.
Do you really think they would pick Danny over Liam for one more year? Where is Danny going to go after? It just doesn't make sense.
I know. But the amount that he does bring to the team in terms of marketing, in terms of business, and he's still a very tenured driver. Look at me defending Daniel Ricciardo, playing devil's advocate, which is
good for you, Tiggy. You've really grown in maturity over there since you got into business. No, I'm kidding.
If I were Peter Bayer, I would sign Liam Lawson any day for next year over Danny. But I guess I don't really know, obviously, what's going on behind the scenes and the economics of that. But I've always said, like, V-Carb, if you are a junior development team, if that is your purpose, then it doesn't really make sense to have an older driver who is kind of at the tail end of his career and not performing very well. So
V Carb, if you're listening, hire Tiggy.
Peter Bayer.
Okay. For Haas. So the team is in P7, only 7 points back from RB or V Carb in P6. So P6 to P7 might not feel like that big of a difference in the grand scheme of things, but that's a full $8 million difference in constructors' prize money. So you better believe that Haas will be looking to climb their way back up into the midfield and grab as much of those points and prize money as they can. I think it definitely feels like the end of an era for the team a little bit in the second half of this season, since they're going to have a full new lineup next year with Ocon and Ollie Bearman. So let's just see how they can close it out.
Fingers crossed.
For Aston Martin, the team is looking to unlock the performance they had last year. So far this year, it's definitely been a bit disappointing on the points front. Only 73 points in P5 in constructors. And for reference, Mercedes is in P4, but they have 266 points. So it's kind of a huge drop off from P4 to P5. It seems like everyone is really expecting an imminent announcement here about signing Adrian Newey, but again, some of these announcements, I just wonder what is taking so long. I feel like it's been months and months and months in the works, but maybe they're waiting for a big announcement moment once the second half of the season kicks off.
For this weekend, the team is bringing significant upgrades to enhance the car's aerodynamics, their suspension, and the overall weight. So hopefully this will help the team get a little bit more consistency and performance for the rest of the weekend and, of course, for the rest of the season. Okay, really quick on Carlos. I explained my thoughts deeply in the AMA and have gone back on my statement that said earlier, if Carlos goes to Williams, I'm quitting the podcast. But Sarah, what do you think?
Put that on a plaque.
Chess's hot takes are never right.
I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm a bit disappointed. I did really want him to get either the Mercedes or the Red Bull seats. I do think Carlos, though, has made it very clear that he wants long-term security and a long-term contract. And we've talked about this a lot, but it completely changes the dynamic of the driver's job and their role when they're always only on these one-year deals at a top team, kind of fighting for their career every single race versus being able to really dig in, think about the future with the team, invest in the team's future development, wait sometimes for progress and for key personnel to come over. And it seems like he really prioritized that security. And I think definitely, even if there was an opportunity at Mercedes at Red Bull, certainly security is not something they could be offering.
Yeah.
So I do think it makes a lot of sense. We've talked all season about how James has seemed like a really great leader. Albon's been putting the car into Q3, into the points. He's been doing the most with it that he can. So I'm excited to see. We'll see.
Too.
I'm just happy that Carlos is locked in, and it seems like it was his choice and that it seems like a really good match with the team.
Tiggy said that if it all goes really well, Carlos is going to look really, really smart. So let's hope
Williams maybe comes out 2026. Totally. And now's the time to take a gamble before a big regulation change.
Okay. Hot takes and predictions. What do we got?
Okay. Is it hot to say another non-Max win?
I think that's hot. Although that is
at Zandvoort. That's hot. Come on. I'm going to say another non-Max win and a driver announcement this weekend.
Well, you have to be specific on what that driver announcement is.
No, Tiggy, you always make my life so hard.
It's silly season. It's
okay, fine. The Mercedes. No, not the Mercedes. I'm going to say the Alpine driver announcement because why the hell not?
Jack Doohan? Okay. I think that's a good one. Okay. My hot take is no Red Bulls on podium, which maybe isn't super hot for Checo, but that feels hot for Max. I think McLaren and Mercedes are going to continue their upwards trajectory, and maybe Ferrari will be fighting back in front with their floor and other upgrades.
You heard it here first.
Okay, my hot take is I feel like we have not been talking about him much recently with everything that is going on. This is hot.
I mean,
Charles wins.
We forgot about baby boy Charles. Good. I like that
He's
one.
He's really been flying under the radar with all the silly season stuff, but Ferrari's just been having a rough go of it ever since Monaco. It was funny. F1 was doing kind of a highlight reel promoing the second half of the season and highlighting that seven drivers from all the top teams have won Amazing. This year. And it showed Charles diving in Monaco. And that was really his last triumphant moment this season. It was a while ago. So
is he going to win?
For him to be back.
Is he going to win from pole or is he going to win from not pole?
Given his own luck, I think probably not pole.
Okay, cool.
But ideally, it would be nice for him to also start turning those stats around of his lack of pole to win conversions, but we'll see. I feel like it's probably better for him if he doesn't get pole.
Okay, that's a good hot take. I like that we fleshed it out a little bit. Okay, wrapping up with a few more things. First of all, news. So F1 has scheduled talks with Rwanda next month to discuss its serious bid to join the race calendar. Stefano Domenicali called it compelling, and there's been a big push to get a race on the African continent for a while. That would be amazing. I thought it was going to be South Africa, but Rwanda, I'll take it too.
And another new update, after prospective talks with Red Bull broke down, Porsche's head of motorsport officially confirmed its return to F1 is a closed chapter, but it will remain in Formula E. And the FIA also announced a rare midseason change to the technical regulations. Specifically, it has to do with asymmetric braking. So naturally, this fueled a big wave of speculation that the FIA was responding to potential setup from specific teams. One of those situations where maybe the regulation is a little unclear and certain teams really push the interpretation beyond what other teams would like to see.
And so now to round out the episode, we thought we would do a little silly season roundup. I think by now, we all know that the standard F1 driver summer break agenda involves boating in yachts in places like Ibiza and the south of France. Charles and George were looking at you, but I thought we could do a little roundup of some of the more unique summer pursuits of the F1 drivers.
Let's start with Lewis, obviously setting the bar high. He went to the Olympics. I just missed him by like literally a day or two. He went to fencing to support his friend Fencer on Instagram, but Miles Chamley Watson, he's a British fencer. He also did a trip through Africa, which is something he did last year as well. So that was very cool. He posted some cool pictures in Morocco, I believe.
Yes.
But Lewis always getting up to fun things over the break.
He packs a lot in, yes. Definitely way more than any of us would ever do. For other drivers, based on social media, it looks like Alonso actually did not really take a break from driving at all. He posted some photos from a Spanish karting track. So good on him. What's another one? Oh, Gasly dropped a sunglasses line with a company called Hawkers, and he did some like super sunglass hut-esque photos with his girlfriend Kika. So that was an interesting business pursuit he did over the break.
Love that. I love the business pursuits. Lando, not super businessy, but he did the cutest promo video with McLaren and the Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, which is an animal rescue service in London. So love to see that. And speaking of another McLaren boy, Oscar posted the cutest pictures of him and his girlfriend just having the best time. He looked so happy, and every other picture was his girlfriend, which I feel like Oscar doesn't do very often. So I loved to see that. It seemed like they had a really nice, relaxing break.
And of course, Bottas went biking in Finland. What's new with his longtime girlfriend, Tiffany Cromwell, who is a pro biker herself. So very cool.
And with that, thank you so much for listening to our Dutch Grand Prix preview. We'll be back with a recap after the race this weekend. We are so excited. And as always, let us know if any questions on Instagram or wherever you talk to us on Discord about the rebrand, about other things, questions, comments, concerns. We are always here, but same content, same everything as always, just a new and fun name.
There you go. Love ya.